Hello and welcome to the Gambling Files podcast, the podcast you never knew you needed to listen to and probably still don't. I'm your host, John Bruford, joined by my co-host, the capable Fintan Costello. Fintan, hi.
I'm not feeling very capable today, mate. It's I'll try and live up to that aspiration. How about that?
Who feels capable, though?
I can't believe it's only Monday. It feels like a Thursday already.
Seriously, I've got that kind of I've just crapped my pants feeling, and it's just Monday afternoon. Somebody once described it as that feeling like you've just locked the front door behind you and realized your keys are inside. I prefer to think of it as, oops, I just let go on that one. We have a super episode today. Very, very pleased. Welcome you to the Gambling Files TLDR. The too long didn't read shorter episode. Fintan is best known in the gaming industry as one of the top dogs. One of the yakuza at bonusfinder.com. And he has the tattoos. And Bonus Finder recently published some research in which you had looked at the statistics for Ontario as potentially being the largest gaming market, the largest iGaming market in North America, correct?
So first of all, just to clarify, in case there's any gambling regulators listening, we've got absolutely zero ties to the Yakuza. I just want that on record, John. But no, seriously, I'm terrified of needles. They'd never let me in. But yeah, so look, I've never had an original idea in my life. I've always been a big fan of The Economist's Big Mac Index, which is where The Economist takes the price of a Big Mac in lots of different countries and creates a table. And so you can compare the price of a Big Mac in, say, Norway versus the US, and then it's a shorthand way of showing purchasing power parity.
It doesn't compare the quality, though, does it?
But a Big Mac's a Big Mac.
It's basically, that's not true, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Controversial.
Really. No, it's totally true. Have you read Fast Food Nation?
I have.
Okay. Fast Food Nation talks about the socioeconomic impacts of fundamentally making butchery and animal slaughtering, animal husband, however you want to describe it, into unskilled labor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why there are so many food poisoning lawsuits in North America. The very same lawsuits that we don't have in Europe because we have different standards. It's not the same product. It's theoretically the same product, but the standards of actually producing the ingredients are very, very different.
But the price doesn't vary that much. So anyway, that's a really good digression. So in theory, it compares a comparable product across markets, and you can get a sense of the purchasing power parity, and then you can draw inferences versus, say, exchange rates and interest rates and various bits and pieces like that. So it's been hugely popular for The Economist for years, and it's a really neat idea. I've spent way too long thinking about, okay, how could I create something similar for the gambling industry? And voila, we've got the bonusfinder.com bonus index. And what we're doing is we are comparing. So right now we're just looking at North America, and we're just looking at the regulated states in North America. So North America is US and Canada. What we're able to do is we're able to look at the number of licenses available in the market. We're able to look at the products that are available. So typically it's sportsbook or sportsbook and casino. We're able to look at, and this is all data we've got in our system now, so we can look at then the welcome bonuses that are offered as enticements to sign up to the operators. We take into account the terms and conditions, because obviously the T's and C's can vary quite a lot. Like, for example, they're very, very generous in the US right now. So we can do that for sports. We can do that for casino. We then apply a population. And very quickly, we can come up with a ranking that's proving to be very accurate based on our own internal data as well, of all the different states in North America. So either legal or up and coming states, and we can predict how successful they're going to be. And what was really interesting was Ontario just blew it out of the water. So a lot of focus has been put on, say, New York in over the last few months. But when we look at New York, it's going to be sportsbook only. There's only 9 licenses. So actually, places like Michigan, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and then Ontario, that's very much the leader at the top, are going to be much more important states than actually New York is. So this is just a fun tool. We released some data on it last week, and we're very excited, and we're very excited about Ontario right now. So yeah, that's what I did.
So you now have a new nickname. You are Fintan Fun Tool Costello. But that brings me neatly onto our guest today. We are joined and very, 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 very pleased to be joined by Amanda Brewer, who is country manager for Canada for Kindred Group. Hello, Amanda. Welcome.
Good morning. And I'm actually very thrilled to be participating because I can't wait to get more information on what Fintan has at his fingertips. So I'm thrilled to be here today.
Seriously, he doesn't hear things like that very often, so he's probably just fainted.
I've been married for a long time. Nobody's been interested in what I've said in a long time.
Lower those expectations. Set the bar low, Amanda, and we won't disappoint you.
That's excellent. No, and it's wonderful to hear because I think Ontario is getting a little bit lost in all of the excitement about New York opening up. And I understand why, that you've got some of the biggest sports book operators in the world that are going to hold licenses. It's a big population base. But I think what continually gets overlooked is Ontario will be the most open market out of any state. So that's certainly worth showing some love this way, too.
Well, Fintan is going to be spewing his guts to Amanda, and Amanda is going to be slumming it with us. If you'd like to hear more about this topic, then you know what to do. Join us for the longer, deeper dive episode, The Gambling Files RTFM, which follows whenever I edit it. Amanda, thank you.
My pleasure.
And we move on to our second guests. I call them superstars. You may call them heroes. Roz Wade and Sharon Singleton from AG Brief. Hello.
Hello, guys.
It's lovely to have you both back. And we feel, I can speak for Fintan when I say this, we feel you're too good for us.
Oh, no.
Well, that's very sweet of you, but hardly.
Everybody that as well, so really we're starting to devalue.
The thing is, Fintan, I'm not sure if it's a measure of our low self-esteem or their high esteem, or a little bit from column A and a little bit from column B.
Oh, we're definitely bringing a lot of baggage to the table, mate. It's it's a lot of it's our low esteem, but we are being ridiculously lucky with the guests this week.
It's a great week, isn't it?
It's punchy.
Yeah, sweet. So Sharon and Roz are joining us today to discuss potentially a couple of things. But the first thing that we're going to be talking about is the arrest of Alvin Chow, the CEO or chair of the Sun City Group Holdings. What's been going on, guys? I mean, it's pretty big story.
It is massive. I mean, it's really shaken the industry to the core in Macau. To say that it sends out a signal to the entire industry is an understatement, really.
I mean, I'm very much looking forward to delving into this one because I think this has got real legs. Something else I'd quite like to talk about, and I didn't actually mention this before we started recording, so you know it's fine if you want to tell me to piss off. The story about the $6 million in junket debt. You know the one I mean? I think it was Wynn.
Oh yes, the Doré. Yeah.
Yeah, the ruling on that and the mm-hmm. precedent that sets, I think that's potentially got legs, as my exes like to say. So I mean, if we could touch on that as well, I think that could be rather sweet. Sharon, Roz, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's the two are quite interrelated in many ways in terms of their impact on the industry.
Well, that'll save us a bit of time as well. If you'd like to hear more on those stories, then do join us for the RTFM episode. coming soon if we have whet your whistle sufficiently. Ladies, Sharon, Roz, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we move on to our third guest in this TLDR of the Gambling Files podcast, where we are joined by the most excellent Jennifer Gaynor of J. Gaynor Law. Jennifer is joining us today in her capacity as author rather than lawyer. Jennifer, hello.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's okay. Thank you for debasing yourself and slumming with us today. Jennifer, what's the book? What's it called? What's it about? Tell us, please.
Of course. It's called That, quote, unquote, Expletive Broad, Women Who Broke Barriers in the Casino and Gaming Industry. And what it is about, it is the true and, I think, inspirational stories of a number of women who have, like I said, broken barriers, you know, done something for the first time that women had never done in the casino and gaming industry, and really blazed the trail for the women of today. You know, and it goes back from the Wild West in America, because, you know, gambling has been around since the dawn of time. So it's not just when Las Vegas started that gambling started in the U.S. There was a lot of gambling, a lot of card playing going on in the Wild West and the mining camps back then. So there were women even back then who were breaking roles and doing pretty amazing things. So I wrote about a few of them in this book, as well as modern day women as well.
Modern day women, I need to confess that I recorded the episodes the other way around, but if you listen to the RTFM episode, you'll be able to hear Jennifer and I fangirling about former Nevada Senator Becky Harris and Sandra Douglas Morgan. So it does come right up to date with some contemporary characters.
Yes, and you see, you're doing what I do. You call them characters, but you know, after when I read the book, like, it almost seems like characters, especially the Wild West women. It doesn't seem like what happened could have really happened. Like, one of them was named Alice Ivers, otherwise known as Poker Alice. And her famous quote is this: "Praise the Lord and place your bets. I'll take your money with no regrets." And she was a very successful gambler in the Wild West. Since she was actually born in England, in your parts, in 1851 in Sudbury, wherever that may be.
it's probably still pretty rough wherever it is.
Yeah, but her family moved here and ended up settling in Colorado, where they were trying to capitalize on the silver rush. But she began dating a man named Frank, who was an avid gambler, and she would accompany him to gambling parlors, and she learned how to play poker watching him, and ended up being a much better poker player than he was. And she went on, she moved to Deadwood, South Dakota, you know, where she married another husband. She went through many husbands in her day, as well as many poker players. And she ended up having a very stellar career as a poker player. And, you know, during her later years, she actually went on to run a house of ill repute, where there were actually, you know, women that she was prostituting, apparently. And she said, you know, at my age, I suppose I should be knitting, but I'd rather play poker than eat. But she ended up being famous, featured in several TV shows and movies. In fact, there was a television movie called Poker Alice, who was played by Elizabeth Taylor. Played her character. So she seemed kind of like a unrealistic character, seemed like a fictional movie character, but she was a real woman who, you know, broke ground for women playing poker in a day and age where women really didn't do that, and won a lot of money along the way. Probably what would have been more than, she won more than $250,000 back in the 1800s. So that would have been several million today.
At least. And was a pimp.
and was a pimp. So, I mean, Snoop Dogg probably would have befriended her.
I don't know about befriended. Patronized? No, I'm just kidding. Snoop, I'm kidding.
I know. With.
I don't
write
want
in again, John. He'll write in complaining again.
I don't like want Dave and Annie to let him know that I said that. But if you'd like to hear more about Jennifer's fabulous book, then tune into the RTFM episode, which is, you know, coming soon. Jennifer, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.